For those of you who are visiting and you thought, are you going to go at 10 o'clock to church there? And at 11 o'clock, I'm in the restaurant eating whatever. I have a disappointment for you. It will be about noon by the time you eat, just that you know. And the reason is I only have you once a week like this, and I want to give you as much as I can. We need to be informed. We're looking at Daniel. We have gone all the way to the sixth chapter completely. We have done half of the seventh chapter in Daniel. We are finishing it up today, and it is what I promised you for the last 3 weeks. We're going to get to the beasts, and you will be amazed how Daniel has, by God's design, seen the vision, how it all unfolds all the way to the day when Jesus returns. And today we're going to look at that. So some of you have general ideas, some of you have preconceived ideas, some of you have read some commentaries, some of you are watching YouTube, most of them is not worth watching, but you're watching it anyway. And some of you don't open the Bible and study it for yourselves. Listen, God has given us a brain. Use it. Okay? Use it. So if I tell you something and you say, I don't believe that for a second, go and check it up. Don't be afraid to find something. God is working. Daniel engages here in that chapter 7, in the last part, in a discussion with a not human being, with a spiritual being who is in the vision. And Daniel sees this vision. He has a general idea of the first portion because it already happened. But he has no idea what the rest stands for. And listen, when Daniel does not just say, okay, I got all the pieces of my Lego kit, let's put it together the way I like it, and then I'm just going to have it. No, 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 Daniel is smart enough. He said, I'm going to get to have information from the very source who gave me the dream. I need to have supernatural revelation, and I am not afraid to ask. And so Daniel asked, and here we go into church 7:15. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. That means Daniel did not get the full concept, and he was eager and anxious to get it. He said, I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints, and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given for the saints, for the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast. I stopped there quickly for a second. When you read this, don't go too fast. Daniel sees that fourth beast, which is not being described like the other beasts, where you see animals projecting those empires. Daniel sees just a beast. It's dreadful, it's terrifying, its teeth of iron and claws and bronze and devoured and pretty much destroys everything in its ways. But he said that was not all. What I saw on the top of the beast, there was a head. And when I really carefully looked, on top of the head, there were 10 horns. And then I looked in the vision, and all of a sudden there was a little tiny horn, insignificant at the beginning. And all of a sudden that horn started growing and growing and growing among the 10. So there were 11 horns by that time. But that little horn who grew and grew and grew, all of a sudden became so powerful that it subdued 3 of the 10 horns. And the other 7 pledged allegiance to that little horn that grew so fast. The question obviously is, what does it stand for? Here goes the angel. he says, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth. Listen, when the Bible says the whole earth, don't tell me, well, that just was meant for the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire never, ever conquered the whole earth. Never. This isn't talking about a regional power. This is talking about somebody who eventually has the entire earth population under his power. And then the angel tells, and he trampled it down and break it to pieces. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom, that's the fourth, 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. You may want to mark that in your Bible, wearing out. Not just overcoming, he wears them out. He makes them tired. I had enough of that. I don't want to hear anything anymore. It's all negative. I don't want to hear anything anymore. He's going to wear you out. And eventually he demoralizes you. And when you get up in the morning, you have absolutely no strength or energy to do anything because all you hear around you is bad news. That's how he's going to wear them out. He's wearing the saints out. And shall think to change the times and the laws. Remember, Daniel is a Jew. The Jewish people are governed by the laws of God and the seasons of God, which God put into those celebration days, like the day of Pentecost, like the day of trumpet. This feast, this creature, this king, this ruler is wanting to change. In other words, he wants to take everything down that has to do with the law. Sounds like things which we hear today. Let's get rid of the Constitution. Let's get rid of the past. Let's get rid of those who have actually made our world which we have today. Let's just get rid of them. There's somebody behind it. It's a spirit of lawlessness. It's a spirit that's already at work. And the spirit of that lawlessness is going to be very powerful in the very near future. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hands for time, times, and a half time. That means the saints. Remember, when Daniel hears the saints, he's thinking Jewish people. He's a Jew. And then the angel says to Daniel, but the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter, Daniel says. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, or my color changed. But he kept the matter in his own heart. Remember, Daniel at the time when he gets the vision is in the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel already knows from Jeremiah, he read the scrolls the prophet Jeremiah wrote, that they are going to be 70 years under captivity. He knows that. In Daniel's mind, 70 years, okay, God says 70 years, and then he brings us back into the land. What do you think Daniel was thinking of when this is going to be fulfilled? When the 70 years are over, we're going to be back, and we're going to be in the land, and we are going to see a king arriving who is going to settle this issue once and for all. Daniel didn't know what all the things the prophet said, but he did not know how God works these things out, despite the fact that Daniel hears what's going on. He has that discussion because he wants to know very clearly, okay, by the time he writes this down, the Medo-Persian Empire has just overtaken the Babylonian Empire. So he goes, ouch. Now the Persians are in charge. So the first two B's for Daniel, not a problem. Why? History. He already went to them. He said, the very kingdom that has now conquered Babylon is going to be conquered by another kingdom. And it's the Grecian Empire. At that time when Daniel saw that vision, there was no Alexander the Great running across the world. There was no Grecian Empire, or what we sometimes call the Hellenistic Empire. But the fourth beast that really caught Daniel's attention, and the ten horns and the little horns, is what really made him ask the question, what does it mean? Because Daniel sees a vision which he does not believe in. Let me say it again. Daniel saw a vision he cannot believe in. How can it be that there are that many kingdoms ruled before we get back? Remember, 7 years. Every empire that was up to this point in charge, there were hundreds of years in charge. They cannot go that fast. So he wants to know. But what God showed Daniel is not what he does with the Jewish nation in that vision. He shows them how God himself will allow the Gentiles to rule this world. Let me say it again. God is showing Daniel how he allows the Gentiles, the non-believers, not Jewish people, not people who worship God Almighty, he will allow them to rule the world for a season. By God's design, on their time is now. We are still in the times of the Gentiles, just in case you haven't recognized that yet. The question is, how come that God dares to tell Daniel, you are my people. I sent you here 7 years from now. I take you back, but I don't let you rule the nations yet. There is a lot to be had yet. Daniel would have interpreted that the Jewish people are the only one who actually can rule the world because God promised Abraham that. But the Jewish people have long ago believed lies instead of believing God. Let me say it again. The Jewish people as a nation long ago believed lies after lies after lies and followed other gods. You know, when it comes to believing, my friends, believing, you say it doesn't matter what I believe. That's my private matter. No, what you believe is the way you act. I don't need to know your belief system. I just need to know how you live. We do what we believe in. If we say we are followers of Jesus, it's got to become evident. Otherwise, we live a lie. And we are the biggest liars ourselves because self-deception is the most powerful deception. There are plenty of examples where empires followed lies after lies. Whole empires, the people. In 1974, Alexander Solzhenitsyn was released at the Gulag in Russia, Soviet Union at that time. And he got condemned to death in a trial in 1974, I think it was May 1974, for treason, speaking out against the Soviet system. But the world around, the Western world, was in uproar and saying, you dare not call that man to stand and kill him. And so they let him go. The next day after they condemned him, they let him go. And they exiled him for the rest of his life to the Western world. Well, it became a real blessing for us. That evening before Solzhenitsyn left the Soviet Union in May 1974, he spoke a message to the Russian people. And he titled that message, Live Not by Lies. In the essay, which turned out into an essay, Solzhenitsyn challenged the claim that the totalitarian system was so powerful that the ordinary man and woman cannot change it. Solzhenitsyn challenged that thought. And listen carefully, my friends. Today we have a lot of people in a lot of powerful positions. They would like us to believe that they are so powerful that we got to sit down, shut up, and do what they're telling us. And I have to tell you, my friend, they have no idea how powerful human beings can be and change a system like this if they do not believe the lie. Solzhenitsyn challenged that. And I quote him. This is straight out of that essay. The foundation of totalitarianism is an ideology made of lies. The system depends for its existence on a people's fear of challenging the lies. Put that deep down in your heart. Our way must be never knowingly support lies. You may not have the strength to stand up in public and say what you really believe. You may not be able to overthrow totalitarianism, but you can find within yourself and your community the means to live in the dignity of truth. If we must live under the dictatorship of lies, then our response must be, let the rule hold not through. And this should be for me. Their rule has no bearing on the way I live. And that is something Solzhenitsyn wanted to give to the Russian people in 1974. We know that the totalitarian system eventually collapsed. Rotrer, an author who wrote a book titled, just like Solzhenitsyn did, Live Not by Lies. He wrote about how Solzhenitsyn worked in the Western culture over 20 years, warning the American people, you're having no idea what's going on in your educational system, primarily in the higher education. He gave that speech at Oxford and looked at them and said, you are the leaders to pervert the Western world. You are training the leaders today in the 70s so that the next generation does not know the difference between the lies and truth. You are overcoming the challenges by brainwashing the children in our school system. Your government eventually will control the entire curriculum that's going on in the public school, and they will influence them and will eventually set up a totalitarian system out of which I just got delivered. We were sleeping. People said that will never happen. Rotrer said in his book, a Soviet emigre who teaches in a university deep in the U.S. heartland, it's actually in Illinois, stresses the urgency of Americans taking people like her seriously. You will not be able to predict what will be held against you tomorrow, she warns. You have no idea what completely normal thing you do today or say today will be used against you to destroy you. This is what the people in the Soviet Union saw. We know how this works. Even the politicians didn't get that. Now they're digging up stuff they said 40 years ago. And boom, their career is over. He goes on to say that when he talked with another person who escaped the Czechoslovakian regime at that time, he said, on the other hand, my Czech emigre friend advised me not to waste time writing this book. People will have to live through it first to understand, he said. Anytime I try to explain current events and their meaning to my friends or acquaintances, I am met with blank stares or downright nonsense. Wow. We would say in the good old English language, I just spoke to a wall. There's no response, correct? It's just that stared look. We obviously live in a time that is so difficult to get people's attention, what is really going on. Make no mistakes, my friend. A lot of stuff that is being implemented in the world today is not from God. That's from the evil one, and that has one goal, to fulfill Daniel's vision God gave him about the fourth beast. It's so important to understand that Daniel 7 is not the only one that speaks about this. There's a parallel prophecy which the Apostle John wrote in Revelation 13. I wrote it down for you. He sees exactly the same thing, but he gets a different symbolism. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with the 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 diadems on its horns. For those of you who don't come on Wednesday night to study a supernatural worldview. The sea is the Gentile world that is constantly stirred by trouble. That's the sea. So when you read in Revelation, eventually in the new heaven and new earth, there's no sea. Don't worry about it. You can keep your boat. You still can go fishing. The sea there means there is no trouble anymore. There is no Gentile power anymore. It's going to be over with. He says, and the diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. For those who still don't believe that the dragon is not an animal kingdom creature, animals don't have thrones and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it? And John goes on to say, and the beast was given a mouth, uttering hardy and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. Listen, it was allowed. Allowed. It opens its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. Do you see that? That's the same thing what Daniel saw. And the authority was given over every tribe and people and language and nation. Do you know? That's the whole world. That's not just a region. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. John says, everybody will follow that beast. Everybody will go there. Everybody is worshiping the beast eventually. Wow. Notice some features. I wrote it down for you. They are parallel to Daniel 7. And I bring that out because when you study Daniel 7, don't just come up with your own ideas or listen to a crazy guy on YouTube. Go to the Bible and parallel it with biblical truth. Listen, the Bible interprets the Bible. Okay? I don't want you to get deceived by all these wicked, crazy people out there. Go to the Bible and parallel it with the Bible. God will never contradict himself, period. Never. Because Satan is very crafty. The beast that has 10 horns that are said to be 10 kings. John just said that. These 10 horns represent 10 rulers. The beast speaks blasphemous words in both, in Daniel 7 and in Revelation 13. The beast makes war with the saints and overcomes them in both, in Daniel 7 and in Revelation, you read that. The beast has limited authority. In Daniel, we find the time as time, times and a half time, which is 3.5 years. And in Revelation, we find 42 months, which is also 3.5 years. Both of these revelations are speaking of exactly the same incident, the same thing. You can see that. The beast in Revelation combines features of the first three beasts in Daniel's vision, which Daniel, the first two he saw, the third one he didn't see. Daniel and Revelation are describing exactly the same thing. You say, why does Daniel get symbolic and John gets symbolic messages? Why doesn't God just speak clearly? The language is interpreted in the Bible. You don't need to come up with your own interpretation. The Apostle John is telling us in Corinthians that he was cut up into the third heaven. He doesn't know out of body, in body, how he got there. He has no idea, but he saw some incredible things. And unlike all the people who go today to heaven and come back down, he said, I cannot even tell this. I'm not allowed to tell anything what I saw. Good example, isn't it? And he tells us what the symbolism means. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you get the answer. He says, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind, the way you think, or alarmed, either by a spirit. Listen, there are demonic spirits at work trying to deceive the Christians. Or the spoken word, people who today would be social media, all these platforms, or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And how does it get introduced? The man of lawlessness is revealed. The man of lawlessness is that little horn. It's a man. It's a human being. It's not a creature from somewhere. It's not an alien flying in on a saucer. It's a human being. It's a man, and it's the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. The Apostle Paul says it very clearly. He said, it's a son of destruction. You know what Satan is? He is the father of destruction. Who do you think is that? Sounds steady. Paul lays it out. You don't need to go up and come up with all kinds of flying creatures here. It's a man. It's a man that will stand up and will do all these crazy things. The coming of the lawless one. Paul goes on to say, if you want to find out how the guy shows up, he's not going to come in a sauce. He's not going to come as an alien. All that garbage you hear, just forget it. Okay? Listen, these world leaders, they are busy sidetracking you. They are busy giving you all the stories, kind of juicy, but you know what? It sidetracks us from the real deal, okay? Don't go there. Like we would have nothing better to do than listen to these crooks. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan. With all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. You and I should never fall into that trap, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. You want to stay away from that deception? Put as much effort into loving the truth, study the truth, and living the truth. It will give you a life when you can get up in the morning and you don't have to worry. What is that crazy guy in Washington doing today? Let's listen to the news. Who cares? Haven't you recognized? Open the mouth. Do you want to know why he lies? Whenever you see the mouth move. Anytime. Why do you still listen? Don't listen to lies. Don't listen to, I want to know what's going on. No, I know what's going on. The Bible told me so. Well, but the Bible doesn't say, Biden is not in there. Fauci is not in there. I don't care. They don't deserve to have a place in here. The beast does not represent some abstract idea or some power that comes from somewhere. Listen, I would not be surprised if soon they're going to present us some verification that there is such a thing that aliens visited us in Area 51. There is such a thing that there are creatures out there who are talking to our FBI. Listen, if they're talking to the FBI, don't listen. The FBI is filled with liars. Don't listen. They come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. You say, Pastor, why do you say these things? Shouldn't you just stay in the Bible? I'm staying in the Bible. I'm telling you, deception is deception. Lies are lies, and truth is truth. And it's a rarity to find truth today. So God gives us these things because even Paul says there will be major deception coming. And it's all fueled by Satan himself. It's a human being who will eventually be the ultimate Antichrist. John Lennox, in his book Against the Flow, he gives us a little insight. He tells us that according to 2 Thessalonians, the power of the state will be vested in a man who sets himself up against God. Playing God has always been a temptation for powerful leaders. Boy, do we see that. And he goes on to say, thus the fourth beast can be seen as the final manifestation of human rebellion against God. Both 2 Thessalonians and Revelation point out that the man beast is energized by the dark power of Satan and is a master of deception. I would say, without hesitation, that while we have seen a lot of deceptive stuff going on for years and years, and it increases, the last 2 years was unbelievable. But you know what? 60% of the American people believe all these lies. 60% believe all the lies. You say, how do you know? The way they live. What you believe, that's what you do. So it's very powerful. And you know what? It's going to be increasing exponentially. We haven't seen anything yet when it comes to deception. We say, but Pastor, you know what? I think Jesus is going to come back tomorrow, so don't worry about that. Maybe not. You and I have to be prepared. On the question I ask you this morning, what do you think? What time is it? And I'm not meaning this one. What time is it? How close are we? Is the time of the Gentiles coming to a close in the very near future? Or are there still some prophetic promises that have yet to be fulfilled? Well, from history we know a few things. And let's go to history. So that was my introduction, so get you to the history, correct? Of the whole deal. How about that? Are you ready for it? Okay. We already know, you can read that, you can go on the internet and you can read that. Okay, the Babylonian Empire, history. Medo-Persian Empire, history. The Hellenistic, the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great, history. But what about the Roman Empire? You say, history. Oh no, the Roman Empire is not history. No, it just divided. It just divided. Arnold Fruchtenbaum. So I thought I'm going to give an excerpt out of his book. People always ask me Wednesday night, so how do you spell that name? You got it up there. So he wrote the book, The Footsteps of the Messiah. He's writing about the fourth empire, which he calls the empire of imperialism, or imperialism, what you call. And he's right, and it's very important. This is what he says. Rome fulfilled only the first stage. And it would be wrong to assume that the Fourth Empire ended when the Roman Empire fell. Hence, one must ask what made the Fourth Empire, beginning with Rome, different from all the previous empires. You remember Daniel recognized that beast was entirely different, was nothing like the other ones? And he goes on to tell us, he says, the key difference was in the type of government initiated by Rome. When the Babylonians conquered an area, they did so, set up Babylonian rulers, but allowed nationals to govern their own countries. They did not set up Babylonian rulers. In its conquest of Judah, Babylon first appointed Zedekiah and later Gedaliah as rulers. That's why they're mentioned in the Bible. The Medo-Persians proceeded in the same manner and allowed Jewish governors such as Zerubbabel and Nehemiah to rule the land. The Hellenists worked in the same way. Instead of appointing Greek leaders, they allowed the Jewish high priest to govern the people. Rome, however, began a new system of government called imperialism. And this system is what made the Fourth Empire diverse from all the others. When Rome conquered a nation, Roman consuls were sent in to rule the area. That's why we have Pontius Pilate in the Bible. That's why we have Felix in the Bible. That's why we have Festus in the Bible, in the book of Acts. He goes on to say, well, the Roman Empire initiated this policy of imperialism. It was merely the first of five stages of the Fourth Empire. Hence, a better name of the Fourth Empire would be imperialism, or even better, the imperialistic empire. Both Daniel's passages make it clear that the Fourth Gentile Empire begins with the end of the Third and continues until Messiah comes to set up his kingdom. That's very clearly given in the Bible. The imperialistic empire is to go through five successive stages, and it is now necessary to study the five stages individually to see where history fits in this development. Interesting, isn't it? Where are we? Well, now you know, you understand imperialism. I give you quickly the description, the meaning of imperialism. I took it from Wikipedia. Here we go. Imperialism is a policy or ideology of extending the rule over peoples and other countries for the purpose of extending political and economic access, power, and control, often through employing hard power, especially military force, but also soft power. While related to the concept of colonialism and empire, imperialism is a distinct concept that can apply to other forms of expansion or many forms of government. In other words, it doesn't have to be necessarily a republic, it doesn't have to be necessarily a democracy, it doesn't have to be necessarily a kingdom. It can flourish under any of those because it's a type of government. And obviously you have recognized hard power, military. Who was the military power since the Second World War? Undisputed military power? United States of America. Have we gone into countries to kind of get extending our political and economic access, power and control? Have we done that? Have we done that we have employed hard power, military power? Have we employed soft power, which is economic sanctions? Have we employed that? Okay, so we would fall under that concept of imperialism, if you like it or not. So in other words, the United States is just one little piece of the puzzle. We're not the beginning of the Roman Empire, and let me tell you that we're not the end of it either. Okay? So, let me give you the five stages Arnold Fuchtenbaum plays out, which obviously are revealed in the Bible and in human history. Stage one is the what he called the United Stage. When Rome was totally united, they just conquered and the Caesars were in charge. Okay? Eventually, the Pope had a lot to say, the Holy Roman Empire. But what you may not know is, in Daniel chapter 2, we saw that statue with two legs, which represented the Roman Empire. And then we saw the feet and with the 10 toes, the same thing, 10 kings. All the same thing. So then we see the two legs, and the Roman Empire went into two sections. Okay? So stage one, I wrote down for you, so you can check me out. The Roman Empire was united and began in 63 BC, and it ended in 364 AD. Stage two began in 364, obviously, when Emperor Valentinian split the Roman Empire in two, thus creating the Eastern Roman Empire and the Western Roman Empire. The Eastern Roman Empire became known as the Byzantine Empire, and it had its capital in Constantinople, which today is Istanbul, Turkey. The Western Roman Empire became known as the, you hear it all the time, the Holy Roman Empire. And thus, during that split, the axis, which we still have today, the axis, West against the East, East against the West. You hear it all the time. That was created when the Roman Empire split, that axis. The Eastern Roman Empire remained in power until 1453, when the Turkish invasion of Constantinople toppled the entire Eastern Empire. By the way, I shared with you a few weeks ago, that's why September 11 is so important to the Muslims. The Muslims lost the battle outside Vienna on September 11th. And they wanted to get Eastern power. They wanted to get the Western power to its knees on what date did they chose? September 11th. For them, that's a lot more important than to the Western world. They don't forget anything. It is interesting to know, though, when the Turkish Empire fell, the political rulers, the scribes and the scholars that lived in Constantinople, left before the final downfall of the city and went where? To Russia. They went to Russia. I have been in Russia. I've been behind the Iron Curtain. They have some of the greatest, most beautiful artwork when it comes to cathedrals. Crosses everywhere. And you think, man, they have more crosses in the churches than in the United States of America. What's going on? I thought this was a communist country. Well, when these people from Constantinople fled to Russia, they didn't go there to hide. They took over the government. And that government became totally imperialistic. And it became the Soviet Union. They toppled one government after the other to gain access to the natural resources, to the human resources, just like the United States does on the Western part. The Russian government was infiltrated by those people. Do you know where the word Tsar comes from? That's the Russian word for Caesar. So the leaders in the government were called Tsar. First it was Z-Z-A-R, and then it became a Russian word with T-S-A-R. They just shifted two of the letters, which, by the way, is the old Slavic version of Caesar. But it didn't take long before Russia gave herself the official title of the Third Roman Empire. Did you know that? You have to read that in the history books. Russia was known as the Third Roman Empire. Eventually, the eastern center of power was located in the Soviet Union and included all the communist countries, nations. But with the collapse of the European communism, listen, European communism collapsed. Marx moved over to Russia. Russia was not Marxist. He moved over there and he ransacked the Soviet Union and introduced communism as the Tsar was in power. And then they started the Commonwealth of Independent States. Let's quickly look at the map. I promise you we go to some history. This is very interesting. It's all connecting to where you're sitting today. Okay, this is the map. Russia is a very small little country, correct? So, I want you to know, okay, when you see Turkey over here, okay, this is the Black Sea, okay, and I want you to see all these countries. By the way, we just left this one behind for the new Eastern powers, okay? Do you know who's in Bagram Air Base right now? Chinese military. We spent a trillion dollar to build it. The Chinese just took it over. By design. They bought Biden a long time ago. Don't forget about the $85 billion of equipment, which, by the way, will be prophetically used one day. That was given to the Muslims for one purpose, that they can go down against Israel. They have more power weapons today than Australia and New Zealand combined. Okay, so we're going to not be too far away from Ezekiel 38. Isn't that exciting? It takes the Israelis 7 years to burn all the weapons they bring in there. 7 years. And these are American weapons given to the Muslims. All the countries here which you see stand, this is all Muslim country. The Russians had them. And they will be activated now again. These are the Commonwealth thing, states. Russia will use them as their proxies to do the dirty work. East against the West. He said, East against the West. And China is the master manipulator behind it. East, the axis is still fully going. The Western, if you're just looking at the East, that's where we are, with the Eastern Roman Empire. The Western division of power remained in Rome from 364 all the way to 476. Finally, it fell in 476. But it didn't leave Europe, for those of you who are challenged when it comes to history. From there, it shifted to France. And by the way, our very revolution that started this country came out of France. Especially with the power of Charlemagne in 8800. He called his domain, what do you guess? The Holy Roman Empire of the Frankish nation. That's what he called it. In 962, Otto the First of Germany defeated the Franks. They always, Europe is full of battles, correct? And he set up the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation. Hitler didn't get that out of his head. He said, we're going to reestablish that again. And what do you think the Germans called the leader in the Holy Roman Empire? Kaiser. Kaiser, which is German for Caesar. There are no accidents why they give these titles to those leaders. We are in charge of the Holy Roman Empire. But then, especially World War I, the balance of power shifted. And that's when the United States comes in. The balance of power from the West and East. The West shift from Europe to the United States. We won the war. And all the countries under us, which we have either conquered or made agreements with, are the Western world. Listen, the Middle Eastern people and the Eastern people understand that. They always say, our battle is against the West. And America is the head of the Western power. And ERCO is the target of our attacks. That's what you see right now. The battle East against the West. Why is that important to know? That tells you where we are in those five stages. America is still America. But if we are not fighting, we're going to see the next stage coming very fast. And if the world government has its plan instigated, implemented, and executed all the way through it, they want to have that done by 2025. Don't take my words for it. You can go to clubofrome.org, okay, which is just another arm of the Bilderbergs, the international bankers. They got it all planned. One of the move and shakers on the front is Bill Gates, okay? Somebody asked me this week, do you think his name is accidental? I said, could be the gates of hell. I know. Could be something, I don't know. But it's interesting. Intriguing, isn't it? Intriguing. But I just told you at the beginning, we are not going to go and watch what you two preachers say about Gates. We got it in the Bible. So we have two stages. And the United States of America is in the second stage I presented. East-Western power. Let me tell you, when we gave over Afghanistan, we defaulted and gave the power to the East. Let me say it again. Don't make any mistakes. We gave the power to the East. It's not because we didn't have the power to overcome them. Listen. Out of 19 top universities in the world, 17 are in the United States of America. Everything China has, they stole from us. But it doesn't matter how you get it. If they don't steal it, Biden gives it to them. You know? So it doesn't matter. So that shift has taken place now. So now we're going to see the East coming up. Eventually that king of the East will march in the Bible. but we don't know when. But the next stage is not the king of the east marching yet. The next stage, according to the biblical text, is the one world government. That's the next stage. And at some point, the west and the east will get together. Let me say it again. At one point, we will get together. If you listened to the last year's Bilderberg meetings, you know that they gave very clear marching orders to Biden to destroy the United States of America economy, the borders, the healthcare system, the economy, and the military. These are the 5 points laid out. He's doing a good job, doesn't he? These are the 5 points. We need to bring America down from the superpower status so we can implement what we want to implement, because as long as there's a superpower, we cannot get all these powers united together. So eventually the East and the West will be united together. How are they going to do it? The Bible doesn't actually tell us. But Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be pestilences, earthquakes, all kinds of things. Kind of a little hint, correct? But eventually they will go together. This stage is described in Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, where the fourth empire will devour the entire world. That means it will take over everything. So the next stage is what we are going to witness in the very near future. It will be the imperialistic world empire that will control everything. And the two stages, east and west, will collapse. That's not the end of it yet. Stage 4. 10 divisions. Then the world will be divided into 10, what the Club of Rome revealed that in 1967. You need to go to the website. I'm not telling you anything you don't have access to. They have to map out there the way the world is going to be divided. They call it the 10 administrative districts. They want to do away with the nations. I remember when the EU, years and years ago, finally accepted the 10th member into the European Union. And all the prophecy pundits, they went everywhere. Europe is the world power. Europe is. Look at 10, 10. Then they got 11, 12, 13, and the pundits disappeared. See, that's the bad thing when we try to interpret things based upon what we see, not based upon what the Bible says. Listen, Europe has absolutely no power on its own. Europe is in a bad shape economically as China is. All these guys have, listen, you listen to lies. I know. All these guys have is as more debts as we have. They build everything on printed money, everything. And that's why Biden wants to be equal, and he wants to put $6 to $10 trillion into digital printing so we can be of equal footing, everybody a slave. The stage 4 will be 10 administrative districts ruled by 10 world leaders. We don't know how they look like. Obviously, it's not going to be around nations. Satan wants to destroy the nations. Why? God made the nations. And you know what? God will judge the nations. They're not going to disappear. They are there. God set the boundaries for each one. Then we come to the stage 5, the last stage. Once these 10 administrative districts are in place, there's a man coming up from one of those administrative district, the little horn, will come out of nowhere. You wouldn't recognize that he is the future leader, but Satan will energize him. Satan will actually possess that person and will give him supernatural power. And he will come to the stage and demand absolute allegiance. 3 of the administrative sectors will rebel. I think one of them will be North America, will rebel. This guy will have the power to subdue them. He will subdue the 3, doesn't say will destroy him, he will subdue him. None of the 10 will escape. Everybody will have to submit to his authority. And eventually, What Arnold Fuchtenbaum in his book declares is the stage of the absolute imperialism has arrived. Everybody is under that man's authority. When we watch what's going on in our time right now, we're setting the stage for the one world government. The one world government cannot really fully function unless everybody can be tracked. Whatever passport they call it, health passport, COVID passport, digital passport. There will be a digital passport, believe me. There will be a digital currency, believe me. It's all foreshadowing what the Bible is telling us. Eventually, how do we know? The Bible tells us you cannot live on this earth. You can't buy anything. You can't do business, nothing, without the mark. Whatever the mark will be, it will be. For right now, around the world, people are standing up and calling the bluff. If America is actually pretty quiet. It's kind of concerning me. As long as the government sends some money, these guys watching TV or playing video games until in oblivious cannot think a second on their own. You better wake up. If the American people stand up, listen, the time can be influenced by God's people being the light. You say, Pastor, no. The time is set by God. Listen, there are plenty of examples in the Bible where God's people stood up, started praying, starting standing for the truth, called a lie, and the truth, and God extended their prosperity. Amen. We cannot just sit back there and do nothing. These are super crucial moments, and the church is found wanting right now in America. And we need to stand up and say, enough is enough, a lie is a lie, call your friend, tell him. When they say, well, blah, 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 say, how do you verify that? I see his lips moving. He must have lied. Listen, there's one lie after the other coming. That has nothing to do with Republican or Democrats. This has something to do with trying to implement right now the one world government, and we don't need that. And you and I can make a difference. And I'm here to tell you, I'm ready for a fight. Spiritually, but we also need to put feet to the ground. And if we don't get to the bottom of what they did, but I promise you, what's done in darkness will come to light. Just watch. If God's people pray, God will shine the light on the evil, and it will be exposed. The question is, do we have the backbone to hold these leaders accountable and judge them according to the law of the land and say, you don't have a different law than we have to live under. You have to live under the same law and we will hold you accountable just like you were holding us accountable. Amen. There are no two separate categories of people on this planet. And so you and I need to be the light. Listen, church. We got to be the light. Speak the truth. Don't admit that you are, you know, all of a sudden, well, I'm a Christian. No, don't admit it just like this. Say, I am a child of the living God who lives in truth and walk in the light, and my life reflects it, and I do not submit to lies. Amen. Stand up for it. Make a difference. You say, well, I'm going to lose my job. God has another one for you. The plenty of jobs. Last time I heard, 11 million are not filled. Oh, you got plenty of work to do. Daniel saw all these things, and he was concerned because he believed that the Jews are going to be soon ruling. And God says, let me show you what I have planned. The time of the Gentiles will keep on going. And when the times of the Gentile is over, then the king comes back. And we're obviously waiting for that day. In the meantime, we occupy, we pray, we live. Live a normal, fruitful, productive life. Don't listen to those warmongers. Get up in the morning and have another good day. The things around us may be dark, but you're the light. Light it up. And remember, God is with you in that. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you You are so good to us. Thank you for having shown that to Daniel 2,600 years ago, Lord. And here we learn. And we see your plan, not our plan. Lord, we thank you for teaching us, opening our eyes, giving us wisdom. And Lord, what we really need is courage. Courage to stand up. We need discernment, Lord. We can discern the truth from the lies. Lord, we never want to follow a man because that's the ultimate blasphemous action. We always want to follow you. You have purchased us. You have given us the freedom to make choices. You have called us into your kingdom. You have empowered us by your Holy Spirit. You have given us your word that will literally lay out the roadmap for us. May we never take it for granted, getting up in the morning, thanking you, and praising you all day long. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, Amen. Amen.